Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Fred Obiero.
Hello, and welcome to the Ivy Podcast. My guest today is Morgan Borer. She's a partner at Bevel. Hey, Morgan, how are you?
Hey, Fred, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Before we start this episode, I have one small request to our listeners. As we continue to grow the Ivy Podcast, we would appreciate if you took just a minute of your time to leave us a review on the show, because reviews make a huge difference to podcast channels like ours. Now, time for the episode with Morgan. Tell us about yourself and your background, Morgan, and what led you to the public relations industry.
Sure, I'm happy to. So I grew up in the Midwest in Ohio. I'm an only child. I think, you know, I grew up in a pretty competitive environment with a lot of high achievers around me. I went to very competitive schools. Eventually, I went to Ohio University for college. And at the time, it was one of the top journalism schools in the country. So I was really excited to be there. I loved my classes. I loved my professors. And I just loved the people. At the time, I think I wasn't considering a career in PR. I really wanted to be a writer. I've always been really good at writing. I think historically, if there was one class in school that I really enjoyed, it was always English and writing. So, you know, that's always been at my core. And once I started to get involved in my classes and realize that I could sort of marry my love of writing with a career in public relations, I think I got really excited about it. I had a really unique internship at something called the International Space University when I was in college. And I interviewed leaders at NASA and SpaceX and really unique programs. And I just completely fell in love with the art of interviewing someone and turning that into a story and doing lots of online writing. So when I met my now boss and the CEO of the company, I was incredibly excited to pursue that career with her. I would also say, you know, I'm really lucky to love what I do. I think this job is truly my dream job. And, you know, not everyone has this kind of privilege to be working in an area that they genuinely love. And they wake up in the morning and they're excited about what they get to do. So I feel really fortunate. And I'm happy to be here.
That's wonderful. And I know you talk about how PR was not really something that you had planned for as you were in college, and you end up in the PR space. There's a lot of good and bad, or well, that applies to everything, but there's a lot of challenges that come with PR jobs. And not to give anything away, I have some questions for you later on in this episode that we'll talk about some of the challenges that people face in PR. But that aside, I think it's a field that a lot of people are curious to know how people get into that. So thanks for sharing your little background on how you ended up in the PR industry.
Absolutely.
We've gone through the COVID-19 pandemic, and you could argue we're still not back to where the world knew as normal. From a PR perspective, what are some of the things that turned out to be more challenging than you expected as a result of the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was really challenging for everyone. I think personally, professionally, every single person was affected by the pandemic. And at Bevel, we really, really doubled down when we were all stuck at home. We sort of went full steam ahead. We doubled our revenue. We doubled the team size. And we were securing really great stories and really amazing results for clients. And we did a really great job of navigating that as a company. I think there were certainly challenges on the media side. So much of the coverage was focused on COVID. You know, if you turned on the TV, you listened to CNN or Fox Business or MSNBC, everything was focused on COVID. So, you know, every single story that I was pitching had to tie into COVID. And I think if I wanted to pitch a story that was not about the pandemic and I didn't have an angle that related to it, it could land really poorly. And I think it was a bit off-putting for the media. So that was challenging. I think the other challenge was relationships. It was hard to maintain those reporter connections. It was impossible to meet people in person. Most people that I knew had left the city. So there were times where I felt a little alone. A lot of reporters had left, you know, a lot of the team had left, and it was difficult. I think personally, I felt anxious, you know, walking in New York City. I remember the riots, the rise in gun violence and crime. I think the city just felt different. And I started having panic attacks. You know, personally, it was difficult, but I'm grateful that as a company, we pulled through and we didn't really lose any clients. Our clients really stuck with us. They viewed us as a really important partner and someone that they wanted to work with to help them navigate this time.
So you talked about how one of the challenges that you faced during COVID was the inability to have those interactions directly with your clients or reporters. How did you guys overcome that? Because there's, you know, right now we're talking through Zoom. Was Zoom one of the easier solutions? And what challenges did you face while going through that?
I think Zoom was the go-to, but I also think people felt very fatigued when you're just looking at a screen all day and you can't go to breakfast or go to dinner. It's really hard. It's hard to build relationships, especially if you're new in this industry and you're just starting out, you want to meet people. It's really difficult. I mean, so much of our job is relationship based.
Right.
And so I made a point throughout the pandemic, I made a point to check in on my reporter friends. I would call them, I'd text them. I would try to make a joke or talk about something not related to COVID. And I think that helped everyone kind of move through this.
Got it. So there has been a lot of change in both technology applications and how businesses operate. What are some of the most recent trends in the PR industry that will define the future of how companies in the PR space conduct business going forward?
Yeah, I think at the beginning of COVID and throughout the thick of it, we were signing clients exclusively via Zoom. And it was strange to me that we were working with founders and CEOs that we had never met in person before. And I think it's become the norm. But I also think the human touch will always have a place in the way that we do business. For example, there's a big fintech conference in Las Vegas called Money 2020. We had a couple people on our team go there and they met a potential client in person for dinner and they actually ended up signing with us. The client was debating between us and another PR firm. And so having that human element, being able to connect with people in person and really learn about them and take the time, I think will always have a place. I think at Bevel, we like to go the extra mile. We plan a lot of events. We make an effort to go to events. I know that our CEO was one of the first to encourage people to come back to the office with safety precautions, of course, but the expectation now is that we're working together 4 days a week. And that camaraderie and creative brainstorming and you know, being able to lean on your colleagues in times of stress. I truly think that there's no technology that can replace that. I also think, creative thinking outside the box is something that technology just can't replicate.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. Now, talking about Bevel, my understanding is you were employee number one at Bevel. We have a lot of listeners that are in the startup space that are thinking of either starting their own companies or either work for a startup. What's it like being that employee number one when it's a small team, you wear a lot of hats? How has that been for you since you joined Bevel to where you are now?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Growing up, I didn't really know a lot of entrepreneurs. I didn't know many people with their own businesses. My family, they're not entrepreneurs. So this was an entirely new world to me. And I think I took a very big risk. And that's something that I would tell people when you're in your early to mid, even late 20s, don't be afraid to take a risk, even if it feels scary. Go into it with an open mind and a really good work ethic. For me, I just wanted to work hard, learn, and kind of soak everything up. And there were times where we were working until 11 o'clock at night, or we would call each other on the weekends. I was doing things like taking out the trash and going to new business meetings and, you know, figuring out how to set up a printer. It was just all sides of what you have to do when you're starting. And it was a lot of hustle. Working at a startup when you're young is hands down the best experience that you can get. I think it sets you up for so much success later in your career.
Right.
And you have to be willing to come in with an open mind, work hard, and sort of do whatever it takes to keep things moving. And, you know, I admire my boss and our founder so much because her work ethic and her grit and her determination has carried us through so many ups and downs where I think a lot of people might have quit or bowed out, but we were determined to grow this business, keep things moving, and I'm just so humbled and proud of where we are today.
And that's wonderful because it's something that everybody that works in a startup should be proud of. A lot of startups fail because of some of those things that you've mentioned. It's very challenging. You don't have a designated role. You basically wear all hats. So to see where you guys have come from the time you guys were founded to now, it's pretty impressive, especially looking at your client base. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's been in the news recently or over the last probably year. And this has to do with Facebook. There's been a lot of negative coverage about Facebook in the media, something that may have played a role in them renaming themselves to Meta to reinvent their brand. In your estimation, what are some of the major risks associated with rebranding such a well-known organization?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen the news. I've read about it. I think, you know, people always ask me, why is your company called Bevel? Like, what does Bevel mean? And we have a really good reason why we named the company Bevel. Not many people know this, but if you think about the place on a table where the two lines come together and it forms an edge, that edge is called the bevel edge. And so our position is that we serve as the connecting point between our clients and the media. And, you know, we're that place where those two parts meet. And so I think it's a genius name for the company. When you explain it to people, it makes a lot of sense. And so if you're going to, you know, if you're a startup founder and you're going to figure out a name for your company, it needs to align with who you are, your mission, what you do. And I think it needs to make sense for your audience. And so in the case of Facebook, you know, they could be trying to appeal to the younger demographics because there's right. been a very obvious drop off in users. And so I do think their core audience, which is people 50 and above, they've probably never heard of the metaverse and they don't know what meta means.
Absolutely.
And so it feels a little confusing to me. You know, my parents are in their 60s and my dad is 81. They're both on Facebook, but they don't know what the metaverse is.
And I would argue even the younger generation doesn't even know what the metaverse is for the most part.
Right, right. It's still very new. And I think overall, I think it was a bad PR move. It felt like they were distracting the public a little bit.
Right.
You know, they haven't addressed the harm that they know they've been causing to teen girls, especially. There's been no clear communication on how they plan to fix some of these issues and change the algorithms. And so that to me felt really disappointing. I also think people just hate Mark Zuckerberg. And maybe
rightfully or wrongly so.
Right. And maybe if they liked the CEO, this would have come off more positively, but unfortunately it felt like it lacked emotional EQ. And I have a hard time personally with this name change.
So that segues to the next question. What strategies would you recommend to companies that may be contemplating a name change? Just think of like any maybe best practices that you could share that maybe people in that situation could at least consider.
I think you need to think about what's your mission, what are your values, what do you stand for? Is this going to emotionally resonate with my audience? I think there's a lot of reasons people go through a rebrand, but in this day and age, I think you need a little bit of emotional connection and people really need to understand the meaning behind it. Otherwise, it can feel very surface level and not meaningful.
Great. Thanks for that. Recent studies have shown that global cyber attacks have increased by nearly 30% as hackers continue to exploit the COVID-19 pandemic and the shift to remote work. When large companies with millions of users get hacked, what role can public relations companies play in handling their response to ensure that, number one, there is no loss of customer trust, and number two, negative company image? And I'm using the hacking example just as one example. Just maybe give us a situation where a PR company can step in and help a company that's going through a challenging time. Could be hacking, could be the situation like Facebook. How would a PR firm address that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, as your brand grows in the press, as you become more popular, more established, usually reporters want to look at you a little bit more closely. I think in the case of Elizabeth Holmes, this is a perfect example. Uh-huh. Her company really blew up and people wanted to dig deeper and find more information. And so this is something to be really cautious of. I think it's important to remember that reporters have a job to do. At the end of the day, their job is to find the truth, to report the news, to remain unbiased. When I was in journalism school, we talked a lot about the importance of being unbiased and really just doing your job. And so I love to make friends with reporters. I want every reporter to be my friend and to be in my corner. But I think the reality is they have their own job to do, and I completely respect that. So always keep that in mind. Always be professional. I think when you're managing a crisis situation internally, don't let your emotions run high. Mm-hmm. I think I've been in situations where clients are really frantic and they can't sleep at night. And there's a lot of people you have to deal with, whether it's lawyers or the CEO or maybe an employee at the company. you really have to keep your emotions level and don't let yourself become stressed out. I also think it's important to understand, you know, the basics on the, what does on the record mean, off the record, on background, and really be, you know, build that relationship with your client where they can be transparent and honest with you about what's going on. And you can be honest with them in order to counsel them. And I could talk a lot more about, you know, specific strategies I've used with clients, but overall, just be honest with each other.
Yeah, you know, just going through things like what you did wrong and how you're going to correct it going forward, and being open and transparent with your customers. I think that's those are important aspects. Some of your clients include a variety of startups from different sectors, as well as VCs, just to name a few. In today's data-driven business environment, how do you go about successfully connecting your PR activities and outcomes to your clients' business goals? Please share any examples that you may have.
Sure. So I like to understand my clients' business goals and objectives from the very beginning. I think at Bevel, that's really, really important. Everything that we do is tied to that end goal. So some clients come to us because they're getting ready to IPO, maybe in a couple of months or even a couple of years. Some companies want to get acquired. Some people are looking for new customers or new investors, and everyone has such unique goals. So really understanding what their goals are and tailoring that strategy really specifically to them, I think is super important. At the firm, we've done a lot of work, especially pre-IPO, post-IPO, and that's always really exciting to us. We have, right now, we have two clients going public within the next 6 months.
Oh, nice.
And that's so, wonderful. Yeah, very exciting. And everything that we do is tied to that. We talk a lot about the importance of numbers. So our clients, they're very data-driven. They think in numbers. So we need to understand how the numbers work on our end and how we can help them meet those business goals. Because otherwise, you know, PR might not be extremely relevant for them. Yeah.
Good. So my last question to you, is one of my favorite questions for every podcast episode that I host. What has helped you get to where you are, and what of advice would you give to someone that wants to have a career that's similar to yours?
Definitely. I think the biggest things for me have been really great mentors, amazing family members, parents, really good friends who have supported me through tough times in my career, people who give me really honest advice and feedback. I think feedback is extremely important. We have a very big feedback culture at Bevel, and I'm a huge fan of it. I also think personally, you know, I have a lot of internal drive and motivation that is just driven by me. And so, again, I think advice is, if you're young and you want to take a risk, just go for it. Just dive in. Don't be afraid to join a company that's really young and has a lot of potential. Don't think about, is this too risky? Could this fail? This might not work out. Just give it a try. Worst case, it doesn't. But I think something that I remembered the other day. So in my very first apartment building, I heard that I had a neighbor who was an entrepreneur and founded his own company. And so I went over one day, I knocked on his door, and I just became his friend. And I told him about this new position I had accepted. And he gave me such invaluable advice, and he was very honest with me and very kind. And, you know, talking to people who have done this before, who are entrepreneurs themselves, and have kind of been through the process, is really, really eye-opening. I also think, you know, my dad is 81 years old. He keeps everything in perspective. I like talking to older people who have been in, you know, who have been in the workforce for a really long time. I think they approach it from a wider lens. And so don't be afraid, be yourself. I think it can be hard today, but be the best version of yourself, show up every day, ready to work hard, and always be, you know, my dad always says, whatever you put into it is what you get out of it. And that's true in all areas of life, but especially at a startup, everything that you do, you will, or I could say, especially at a startup, the harder you work, the more that you'll get in return. And it's such a rewarding experience. And I highly recommend it.
That's good. And thanks for that feedback, because like I said, we've seen on the news, there's a lot of people quitting jobs, some people starting their own companies. People got to understand that it's going to be a challenge, but just like you said, the harder you work, you know, you get out what you put in. So thanks for sharing that. And Morgan, you know, we really appreciate you being on the show with us. Looking to connect again pretty soon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me, and I'm excited to meet up with you in Miami at some point.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.